Luke chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. This is what Holy Scripture says. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Have you ever noticed that some of the most beneficial things you can do at first seem counterintuitive? By counterintuitive, I mean things that go against what you would initially expect or what your gut might tell you is common sense. For example, if you want to save money in the long run, that might mean spending a lot of money on a fancy toaster once so you don't have to keep buying a new one every single year for the next 10 years. Facing a problem you can't solve, your gut might say keep studying, keep researching until you figure it out. But in reality, a night's sleep might be the best thing for you. That's why Albert Einstein made sure to get 10 hours of sleep every single night. Today, we're diving into Luke and beginning a new series on the counterintuitive kingdom of God. Very simply, the kingdom of God refers to God's reign over his creation. Yet, zooming in on Luke, we see that his use of the kingdom of God really speaks to God's reign over God's people through Jesus Christ. And so much of what defined God's reign in Christ, the kingdom of God, seems counterintuitive. Counterintuitive to unbelievers and to the world. And if we're being honest, even at times, counterintuitive to God's people, Christians. But over the course of this series, our goal will be to discover that the counterintuitiveness of the kingdom of God isn't a bug. Rather, it's a feature. Turn in your Bibles to Luke 5, verses 1 to 11. Luke 5, 1 to 11. Our passage today tells the story of Jesus calling his first disciples to join the kingdom of God, to come under God's reign by trusting in and following Jesus. But as we'll see already from the outset, even in Jesus' call, there's a strong sense of counterintuitiveness. And as we'll see from our text today, Jesus' call for people to join his kingdom, trust him, and serve him consists of seemingly inconvenient and bizarre commands. Yet, as the story unfolds, we'll see that this is all wonderfully intentional. Through Jesus' requests and commands, he further exposes why and how he's worthy of our trust, our service, and our devotion. Jesus is calling us to follow him. though he does so in a way that might seem counterintuitive, there's a glorious purpose at work. Will you heed his call? Let's break that down. Let's start with Luke 5, verses 1 to 3. Follow with me. Luke begins this story by setting the stage. Luke 5, 1 to 3. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And when he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting in one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. Already in this first act of the story, we need to see that Jesus calls you to follow him, not convenience. Jesus calls you to follow him, not convenience. Before we get to that point, though, I really want you to imagine the scene. Really, this is a story. I want you to imagine it. Across the region, around the Sea of Galilee, which Luke here calls the Lake of Gennesaret, Jesus had already gained quite a reputation. He taught in the synagogues. He healed the sick. He threw demons out of the possessed. And Luke tells us the reaction of the people. Luke 4, 36. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." So now, fast forward a little bit, Jesus was a bona fide regional sensation. Everyone wanted to see, everyone wanted to hear Jesus. And so Luke 5 picks up. Jesus is surrounded by crowds, desperate to see him preach. And in the midst of these crowds pressing in on him, he sees some fishermen. Jesus then hops into one of the boats, in particular that of Simon, and asks him to take him out to sea. Simon obliges, takes Jesus out a little bit. Jesus then sits down on the boat. He assumes the traditional posture of a teacher back in those times and starts teaching and speaking to the crowds from the shore. Essentially, with the boat out onto the sea, Jesus had created a stage for himself. He's on the boat seated, and the crowds lined up on the shore listening to him. Jesus will then go on to preach to this crowd. End of Act 1, the introduction. The scene is set, the characters are introduced. The following scene in verses 4 to 7 will be the climax of the story. Things will suddenly get really interesting. But before we get there, we need to recognize that this story has already taught us a couple of important things about the kingdom of God. Already in the introduction, Luke is an excellent storyteller, and he's working with the greatest story material of all of human history. So it should come as no surprise that even in the opening act of the story, which is really just to set the stage for the climax, Luke is introducing details that we need to catch and we need to reflect upon. First of all, the fishermen whom Jesus asked to take him out, Luke draws to our explicit attention the fact that they were washing their nets. This will be an important note as the story continues, but right now we want to understand that this communicates that these fishermen were at the very end of a very long night shift. They had been up all night fishing, finally back on dry ground and doing their final cleanup. And at this point, Jesus asked them to take him back out onto the water. I doubt this fully will capture it, but to give you an idea of what's going on here, this would be like me after a very long and hard day at work. I finally get home and I'm washing my dishes left from lunch. That's the last thing I'll have to do before I get to sit down and watch my show for the evening. But then imagine if someone were to come up to me and say, "Hey, Christian, could you now, as you're washing up your dishes, actually drive me back to the church? I'm finally home, about to relax, and someone comes up to me and says, 'Get your shoes back on, hop back in your car, and jump back out onto the 401 during peak rush hour. Yes, exactly. Joining the kingdom of God, embracing God's reign through trusting and serving Jesus, is not a matter of convenience. Surely there were any number of ways that Jesus could have navigated the crowds that were pressing in on him. We see throughout the Gospels that Jesus could easily move through crowds, reach mountaintops, and create space by a variety of means. Jesus didn't need the fishermen, he didn't need their boats, and he certainly didn't need to interrupt them at the end of their very long workday, right as they were wrapping up doing the final cleaning. But that's exactly what he did. And he was not met with reluctance or hesitation. As we'll see in a moment in the story, Luke would have no issue communicating to the readers if the fishermen were bothered by Jesus' request. Yet, at this point in the story, it's clear that the fishermen, specifically Simon, were quick to serve. For those familiar with the full story of Jesus, this probably doesn't seem like a surprise. After all, this is the Simon, also known as Peter or Simon Peter, who would go on to be Jesus' most outspoken disciple. However, Simon's response to Jesus' inconvenient request in this situation is not explained by what we know comes later in the story, later in his life. Rather, it is explained by the events that precede it. Back in Luke 4:38, if you were to flip back there, in and around that text, you would see how Jesus was healing many, many people right at the start of his ministry. But one of those people we're told that Jesus healed was none other than Simon's mother-in-law, who was staying at Simon's house. As Luke introduces the characters in this story, it's important to note that Jesus wasn't a stranger to Simon. Jesus wasn't just some local celebrity that Simon vaguely knew of. He wasn't just some random dude asking to get on his boat. When Jesus came with this inconvenient call to service to take the boat back out after a very long night, Simon was speaking to the man whom he knew full well was a powerful preacher and healer. For Simon, this was an opportunity to serve the one who healed his mother-in-law. But this is only the first act in the story. The next scene is where things get really interesting, but already we're seeing something important about the kingdom of God. Allow me to unpack this by speaking to my fellow Christians here, those of us who are followers of Jesus, who embrace the work of calling others to follow after him as well. Think about organizations and groups in this world. When they want to grow, they will do whatever they can to make it as convenient as they can. We'll adapt to your schedule. We'll do onboarding online, don't even worry about it. We'll provide childcare, we'll offer benefits, whatever we have to do to get you in and serving. It's only after you sign up, it's only after you join, that they'll hit you with the hidden stuff, the hidden fees, the unstated expectations, the long hours. In a move that is totally counterintuitive to our modern sensibilities when it comes to recruitment, Jesus starts the conversation with his first followers by asking them to take on a supremely inconvenient task. As we'll see down the road, this certainly makes sense in light of the natures and priorities of the kingdom itself. But what's important to recognize here is that there's no deception, no misrepresentation in Jesus' call. But for a moment, let's just reflect on the reality that Simon and the fishermen, when confronted with this inconvenient call, accepted. They said yes. And as the preceding context and later moves of this passage make clear, they said yes because Simon knew who Jesus was. He didn't have the full picture yet, but he knew enough to know that serving Jesus was to serve a man truly worth following. Brothers and sisters, the call of Jesus, the call of the kingdom, is not a call to convenience. That's true upon entry, and that remains true once we're in it. So often, joining the kingdom, doing the work of the kingdom, will require hard work, sacrifice, and doing things we'd rather not do. But just like Jesus' presentation, we need to know and be clear about that from the outset. Heeding his call, heeding the call to follow Jesus, might mean no, saying no to a job or a promotion. Heeding the call to follow Jesus certainly means waking up early-ish every Sunday. Heeding the call to follow Jesus might mean ending that relationship that does not honor God. It might mean giving precious social time to that person you find it hard to talk to. We need to remember that calling people to repent of their sins, to accept the gospel, and to radically change their lives will not make sense unless we tell them who Jesus is. The kingdom of God, Christianity, none of it will make sense. None of it will seem or be worth it without a clear understanding of who Jesus Christ is, what he does, what he offers, what he promises. The call of the kingdom is not a call to convenience, it is a call to Christ. If you or someone is seeking to join the kingdom to serve Christ because you believe it is the convenient or comfortable thing to do, somewhere along the lines, you have missed or failed to consider the realities of life as a follower of Jesus. Yet, if you're thinking that the inconvenience of the kingdom makes it worth passing on, you're missing, misunderstanding, or failing to appreciate that joining the kingdom means following Jesus Christ, and that makes it entirely worth it. But that begs the question, who is this Jesus who makes it entirely worth it? Sure, he's a great preacher. Sure, he heals people. There have been plenty of great preachers, plenty of great healers in biblical history. What makes Jesus different? The next scene gives us that answer. Jesus is on Simon's boat, teaching the crowds, but now the focus shifts. Follow with me, verse 4 to 7. And when he, Jesus, had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. Here now we get the climax of the story, a massive miracle. Jesus wraps up his preaching to the crowd and then turns to Simon and issues a command. Those nets, those same nets that Simon and his friends had just been painstakingly washing, those nets that they probably had just packed up and stored back on the boat, those nets, get them back out, toss them in the water. And Simon gives a fascinating response. Simon addresses Jesus as master. Again, this indicates that he's well aware of Jesus' power and authority. But here's where we do see a hint of reluctance or disbelief. Here's what Simon said. "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing." Simon was a fisherman. Jesus, the adopted son of a carpenter, was not. After a long night of fishing, the time when fishing was most optimal, they had caught nothing. And now, during the light and heat of the day when fishing is least optimal, Jesus, the adopted son of a carpenter, wants them to unfurl their nets that they had just cleaned, they had just packed, and throw them back out into the water. Forget counterintuitive, forget inconvenient, this was downright unthinkable. Kids, I want you to imagine this. Imagine a hunter looking for moose. Where are the places where a hunter would go looking? Probably up north somewhere, forests, by lakes, quiet rivers. Makes sense. Imagine now if I, someone who has never gone hunting ever, a bit of a pencil pusher, went up to a hunter and said, "Hey buddy, grab your rifle, let's hop in your truck, and let's head downtown Toronto. There we're going to find some moose. Let's go." I trust that the hunter would look at me like I'm crazy. Moose. Downtown Toronto, absolutely no way. That's probably how Simon felt. The son of a carpenter told him to throw out his nets during the daytime after there wasn't a single fish to be caught all night. Yet, after expressing his bewilderment, what does Simon say? You can see it in the text. "But at your word, I will let down the nets." And lo and behold, defying all experience, defying logic and reason, Simon and the fishermen, during the daytime, catch so many fish, they needed another boat to help them carry it all. So much fish, in fact, that even with the other boat helping, the boats began to sink under the weight of all this fish. Can you even imagine it? The call of Jesus, the call of the kingdom, isn't just to follow after some good preacher, a nice guy who healed the sick, a sage who could square up with demons and win. No, Jesus calls you to follow him since he's the Lord of creation. Whether Jesus knew that the fish were there or whether he made them appear there, Luke doesn't tell us the mechanics. Rather, what is clear is that Jesus, in response to Simon's trust and obedience to his bizarre request, provided fish like this fisherman had never seen before at a time when they would have never expected it. It would be like me bringing that hunter downtown and finding an entire herd of moose migrating through Nathan Phillips Square. A doubly crazy miracle, because moose don't live downtown, and as I was reminded, they don't gather in herds. Jesus' miracle is certainly worthy of our attention here. Miracles, supernatural signs of divine authority and evidence of cosmic power, are certainly something we don't want to skip on. Yet, following the trajectory of the story here, it seems like the climax of this event isn't the miracle itself, but Simon's response to Jesus' command. As a fisherman, Simon's professional opinion was that Jesus' instruction was utterly ludicrous. Yet as someone considering and seeking to follow his master, Jesus had Simon's trust, both in word and clearly in deed. Notice as the story continues, the takeaway for readers becomes clearer. As we're seeing now, and as we will continue to see throughout this series, coming to Jesus, following Jesus, and living life in the kingdom will be at times inconvenient, seemingly counterintuitive, totally unexpected, or downright difficult. As we'll see, the way of the kingdom includes commands like love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. Many people will hear this and straight up think, quite reasonably, that's crazy. Likewise, people who claim to be enlightened, or perhaps even Christians, will say that's a good word, but think about their actions when it comes down to it. To love the person who lied about you and got you fired from your job. To do good to the person who smears you endlessly on social media. It's on this point I think we can and should hold up Simon as an example of faith. "Master, this doesn't make sense to me, but at your word, I will obey." And as Simon saw in a special way right away, heeding the call of Jesus will never be in vain. Jesus Christ isn't just some preacher and healer, he's the Lord of creation. Trusting him, walking his way, heeding his call, will never be the wrong choice. listen to this ancient text foretelling Jesus from the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah 54, verses 4 to 5, listen to this. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth, and the reproach of your widowhood you will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. And the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth, he is called. Brothers and sisters, friends, the call of the kingdom is to follow Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah and the Lord of creation. When he says, remain faithful in that marriage, even though you think it's hard, when he says, let that friendship go, even though you feel like you're missing out, when he says, deny that chance for a quick but morally questionable buck, even as your bills are stacking up, trust his word. You might not see a miracle right away, just as Simon did, but that's the same Christ you're serving and obeying. And his people will not be ashamed. For the Holy One of Israel is our Redeemer, and he is the God of the whole earth. In this life, or on the last day, you will see and know the joys that flowed from your obedience. Trust him. And now the final act of our story. Luke 5, 8 to 11. Follow with me. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Simon, having seen this miracle unfold right before his eyes, is rightly flabbergasted. Yet in the exchange that follows, we'll see how Jesus calls you to follow him to a new life. Let's break it down. Simon's reaction isn't just shock. Immediately, he makes a profound theological reflection followed by a theological proclamation. Simon, the experienced fisherman, knows that there's no way that this event was just pure luck. He saw Jesus' divine authority over creation on full display. And he reacts how people throughout the Bible react to seeing the presence of undeniable divinity. He drops to his knees in humility and acknowledges his own sinfulness. An Old Testament parallel you might think of is Isaiah in Isaiah 6, when the prophet has a vision of the Lord in his heavenly temple. And what are the prophet's first words in response? Isaiah 6, 5. Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips. This is the natural reaction to a true, full, and proper encounter with the divine. The reaction that he is holy and we are not, that we are sinful and he is perfect. If you think you're following Jesus and you're not worried about your sin, fighting against it, repenting for it, seeking to overcome it by the power of the Spirit, you should really wonder if you've encountered the true Jesus or just some watered-down idea of him. What follows Simon's personal reflection, however, is a statement. Jesus goes from being master to Lord. These might seem like just synonyms, and they are synonymous, equal perhaps in terms of respect, but the use of the term Lord here, in fact, when we consider the book of Luke, makes it apparent that Simon's understanding of Jesus is really starting to change here. These are still super early days in Jesus' ministry. Not everything has been revealed by Jesus. Not everything has certainly not been understood by the disciples. But it's clear that Simon is realizing that Jesus is something more than just a holy man or empowered prophet. But before we get to Jesus' concluding reply, we should note that it's not just Simon in the picture. He's not the only character in the scene. Luke makes sure to let us know that in the background, you also have James and John, other disciples who would go on to be major apostles. And so, Jesus' words, though directed to Simon, don't just apply to him. See it in the text, verse 9. For he, Simon, and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. As with James and John, there are implications in this text in Jesus' call for anyone that Jesus calls to his kingdom, the kingdom of God. Simon Peter's reaction was the right one. When confronted with the word of Christ, when confronted with the wondrous power of God, obedience, humility, and confession are certainly the right reactions. But awareness of one's own sin, awareness of God's holiness, is not a cause to cower or retreat from God in fear. If you're hearing the call of Jesus and your response is to think you're too sinful to go to him, you're missing a critical part of the gospel message. This might seem counterintuitive, but our holy Jesus doesn't need you to make yourself holy before you go to him. On the contrary, he is the Redeemer. Go to him. He's the one who wants to wash you clean from sin. He's the only one who can. Go to him. We'll get more theological details as we continue in Luke, but zoom in right now at the end. Zoom in on Luke 5:10. Take a look at that text. Simon is undoubtedly a sinful man, but what does Jesus say? Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. A word of comfort is immediately followed by a commission, a call to action, a call to new purpose and life. And here in the third act, we get the third and final call from Jesus to these new disciples being called to the kingdom. Perhaps you've noticed, Jesus' calls have gotten progressively more counterintuitive. Take the boat out after a long day. That's the first one. The second one, drop the nets into the water at the worst time to fish. And now the third one, forget the fish. You're going to be catching men. Leave behind the fishing industry, all you've known, all you've ever trained for, all right after getting the biggest catch you have ever seen in your life. And now become my full-time disciples, calling others to join the kingdom I'm building. And the response was the same, the end of our story. They, so not just Simon and the others in the boat, they left everything. And followed him. Let me be clear on this point. The call of the kingdom isn't to quit your job or become a pastor or missionary. Maybe it is for some of you, but probably not the vast majority of us. We can recognize that Jesus and his disciples occupy a unique moment in redemptive history. But there are certainly overarching realities that remain the same. First and foremost, following Jesus, heeding his call, joining his kingdom, is an all-of-life commitment. Simon Peter is not always the perfect example to follow. Not always. But in this story, he is worthy of emulation. Get to know Jesus. In today's world, that means studying his life and his words preserved in Holy Scripture. Listening to faithful preaching, speaking to Jesus' followers, Christians, learn that Jesus is truly and fully worthy of your trust and devotion. Get to know Jesus. And then, for your part, acknowledge and repent of your sins. That means rejecting the selfish and evil ways of this world and embracing the true and good standards that Jesus presents. And finally, commit your life to Jesus. That means trusting him as the Lord of creation and Redeemer of sinful people, and then living your life for him. The reality is you could never repay or outweigh the justice that your sins deserve. You need to trust Jesus as the Savior who paid for your sins by death on a cross. As you could tell, or hopefully tell, these are things that cannot be accomplished going to church once a week. These are decisions, these are commitments that will shape all of your life for the rest of your life. But there's a second takeaway. Recognize that joining the kingdom of God isn't only the right thing to do, it's the best thing to do. Heeding the call of Christ to the kingdom, to live as God's people under God's rule, according to God's word, isn't just a matter of obedience, it's a matter of blessing. Peter was a fisherman who got the biggest catch he could ever imagine. Like a miner who struck gold, like the adjunct professor who gets tenure, like the amateur athlete who gets drafted. It might seem ironic, but Simon, through these counterintuitive calls, recognized that in Jesus, he had found something better than the bounty that Jesus had miraculously provided for him. Jesus, as Lord and Redeemer, offers a life and future way more satisfying than anything work, relationships, or money could ever provide. Eternal safety and satisfaction with God Himself in Christ. A life that provides hope for the future and true meaning for the present. A final takeaway, brothers and sisters, for those of us who are already in the kingdom, recognize that the call of Jesus is to be shared. As citizens of the kingdom who know the joy and hope of life in Jesus, our job is not to sit back and pity those who don't make it in. Not our job. Like Simon, we too are to be fishers of men. Those who call on our fellow sinners to rise and go to Jesus, just as we did, just as we continue to do. Jesus is the Lord and Redeemer we all need. Let us enjoy Him. Let us enjoy life in Him. But let us also seek to share that joy with others by proclaiming His call to enter the kingdom. That's the call we proclaim to all who hear. Please pray with me. Father, by your Holy Spirit, help us to heed the call of Christ. Whether it's the call to repent of our sin and trust in Him, or the call to continue in Christian life, worshiping and serving our King, help us all to be a people of trust and faith, ever aware of our sin, but ever quick to run to Jesus, our loving and gracious Savior. Help us, O God, to heed Jesus' call and to be faithful in our lives with Him and to be bold in our mission to call others to join His kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.